Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning and then sometimes also watch the new era. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we are going to talk about episode one of season 45, Drop the Four, Keep the Five. Yeah, episode one, We Can Do Hard Things.
Can we do hard things, Chris?
But before we talk about doing those hard things, or maybe I guess dealing with hard things, like coming on Survivor means you have to take a break from your like job and life for a while. And we had listener mail asking about that. Laura, longtime listener, longtime caller, emailed us and said, you guys mentioned how wild it is that people can pause their lives and take off work for these shows. I've heard some disgruntled fans discuss how that's part of why there are far fewer blue collar and less privileged people in more recent seasons. Less economic diversity, with the economic climate more challenging, a lot of people can't get off work or afford to miss a month of paychecks. I've noticed that too. More grad students, etc., and less construction workers than in earlier seasons. What do you guys think? And Laura actually sent this, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago, maybe. But I feel like I've seen this discussion pop up a lot in the past week, just like with looking at some of the contestants from this season. Like, this is a common discussion point among Survivor fans.
We have like a truck driver this season, but everyone else. And we have a truck driver who is also an ex-Marine, so probably not, maybe this is like overly stereotypical of me, but most of the veterans that I know who are not, I know that there is like a problem in our country of veterans really struggling psychologically and therefore financially and in their personal lives and everything like that. But the veterans that I know who are not necessarily struggling with that tend to be doing pretty well financially, because then they got to go to college for free, or they have some sort of help through the government with things like that. So I would guess that Sabaya is not necessarily like, she, though she is a truck driver, she is not a classic blue collar worker who has been, she's not been a truck driver her whole life. I apologize if anything I said and that was offensive, listeners. I'm uneducated about the military, but
yeah, I like, it's something like, there's also like Kendra, who's a bartender. I don't know what else she's got going on, or if,
oh yeah, that's fair.
But it is, there's definitely a difference, I think, with the more recent, the new era of Survivor, so the last five seasons and stuff, when we go back like to the first 17 seasons we've been watching.
Yeah. I mean, there's three lawyers on this cast.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Well, that's not what they want you to think.
It's what one of them wants me to think.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I think I would prefer to there to be that diversity. Like, it would be nice if, I don't think Survivor would have this transparency, but it would be cool if they were like, hey, we know you have to take off like this much time for work, so we will compensate you accordingly, or like some, like if there's some like cost of living package that they would give contestants for something like that. But even like then, I feel like a lot of like maybe blue collar factory job stuff like that, I don't know that they're going to be forgiving to be like, oh yeah, you can take 6 weeks off. They might be like, oh, you take 6 weeks off, okay, we'll replace you. And then it's like, well, then what do you do?
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. There's also part of me that wonders if like, this is less about the, I guess, like, job diversity specifically, and more just about like general like cultural diversity in casting, that I feel like in a lot of older seasons there was a lot of like diversity in like viewpoint or politics or kindness as a human being, and I feel like they are a little less willing to cast people who are like just dicks.
Yeah, like this season we have Emily, who is like not a dick, but kind of like, she's just very pessimistic about everything. And it's like weird to see, almost, because the past four seasons is just like we are people who love Survivor, everything about Survivor. We're diehard fans, and it's a little weird to see different, but it's also like, I mean, I don't like Emily's personality in it, but it's also almost nice to see like something different.
Yeah, I agree. But I think it would be weird to go back and like if like Randy from Gabon was on this season, that would feel very out of place in 2023, I feel like.
Yeah. Which is like, there's, it's a weird like balancing act almost, because part of Jeff's whole like vision of Survivor, at least I guess maybe old era of Survivor, was that it's a microcosm of like the world. And so the people who have those different viewpoints, or might be like, I mean, I'm thinking of like, there's been plenty of contestants from our older seasons who've been like racist, whether openly or not. And those people exist, but it's also like, we also don't want to give them a stage to.
Yeah. And I think that that is a big part of it too, of like, so many contestants get like platforms through social media or through whatever mm-hmm. from the show. And so like, they kind of want to be able to like, CBS wants to be able to not be necessarily like ashamed of the people that they're putting on the show.
Yeah.
When I think that that was not as much of a concern. It was just like, this will be chaotic television, and that is great in the first 20 seasons.
Yeah. And I don't even know, like, that plus beyond the chaos, just like, I think they viewed it as, this is America. Like, this is what, these are the people that make up our world.
Yeah.
So let's not like hide from that. But I think it's better that we've gotten to this point of like, no, let's let, like, we don't need to give them a bigger platform or award them money for being like, we can award people who seem like good people for being deceitful in a game or whatever. Like, but we don't need to award people who don't seem good.
Yeah. But it so, does like, make me excited for someone like Emily for TV purposes. Like, I can't decide if I would actually like Emily in real life. Like, she's clearly a pessimist and stuff, but I have friends that are pretty pessimistic and like sassy and stuff. I don't know. I don't feel like I can judge her enough based off of 90 minutes of television, but like, I am excited to get a little bit more of like a, not purely just like a kumbaya aspect of things, I guess, mm-hmm. which we got a little bit last season. Like, we got a little bit every season, I guess, but I'm picturing like a Jam Jam versus Josh last season. And there was a little bit of like a Carolyn versus people at times that we got to see, but we still don't get anything like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm just bringing this up now because I think it is related to the like lack of job diversity.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody's a grad student, colleges tend to have a certain culture that is like a lot more accepting of everybody all the time and stuff like that. And that is not how a lot of America is. And so when we have just like a lot of grad students and lawyers, it tends towards a certain cultural viewpoint as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be, I don't know how
not they to could say that all blue collar workers are like bigots. That is not what I mean. Just to clarify.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know how Survivor fixes it. Like, because money isn't a perfect solution to be like, you come, we'll give you whatever, like 20 grand to leave your job for 6 weeks, and that can cover like costs while you're gone or something. But then
if they're gonna lose everybody,
right? Like, well, either, even if you like, yeah, sure, they do it to everybody, like that's nothing to them, basically. 20 grand times 18 contestants, Survivor could pay that. But like, that's not a permanent fix. If somebody's going to lose their job because they have to leave for 6 weeks, then sure, that money's good for a bit, but then like, what? And so it's not just like a, how much money are you going to miss out on by being gone for 6 weeks? We'll cover that. It's like, can the show guarantee that they're going to have a job when they get back? And I don't know how they fix that.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't know what happened with that. I would guess they didn't. If they don't have any package like that, it's just people would leave their jobs or hope for the best or try to make a deal. And those would be the contestants that made it on the show. I don't know.
I feel like there have been some people in older seasons that have said that they had to like quit their job in order to come on the show.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, Laura mentioned like economic times are different now than they were then, which is fair, but I don't think it was like, I don't think it was easy for James the Gravedigger to leave his job for 39 plus days,
mm-hmm.
especially like twice in 1 year.
Right.
So I don't like, I don't know. I can't imagine that it's that much harder, as much as it is just like, I don't know. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah. Well, I guess I mean, like, I'm not even saying that it's harder now, but those, like, whatever method of assistance Survivor can give, that's something they should have been doing for all 45 seasons. I think they would more realistically do it now than they would have back when James was on in, like, the seasons forever ago. But, like, that would be a nice equity thing the show could do to, like, help get this not just, like, racial diversity, but also cultural diversity.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I just don't know how... Yeah. I don't know why it is a problem now when it wasn't 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I know that it wasn't a problem. Like, I'm sure that people still had to leave their jobs and stuff, but, like...
I know there was a...
Wise, why do we cast so... Like,
I know there was a certain time period where they would go out and recruit people and not, like, that... Not everybody that was on Survivor was applicants. But I don't think... from what it sounds like on, like, Jeff's podcast, it doesn't sound like that's what they do anymore. It's all just based off of applicants. So I don't know if that would factor into things at all, but I don't know. I'm not sure why it's changed so much.
I was thinking through, like, some major characters from earlier seasons that we've seen, like Dreams. I don't know how he afforded leaving everything for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Although maybe it was like he wasn't affording things much back home anyway. And so this was 6 weeks where he didn't have to worry about it as much. I'm not sure. Or like Twyla and Chris Daugherty, both in Vanuatu, were blue collar workers.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, I would guess that Chris was like a union worker because I think he like worked for State Highway Patrol or something like that. But I don't know. I think about this sometimes of like, if I were to go on Survivor, I don't know that I could, like, I could probably persuade my work to let me go, but it would be hard.
Yeah.
Like, let alone leaving my family and everything, like, trying mm-hmm. to convince my work to give me the time off would not be easy to do.
Yeah. I think I would probably be able to, but it would be, like, 6 weeks. I'd have to, they'd either potentially let me use my sick days or it would just be unpaid.
And both of us have the benefit of working for schools. And so, like, we really would only have to lose, like, the end of the school year and then it would go into summer anyway. Mm-hmm. But, like Sean this season is an elementary school principal. And I was like, I don't know how he's doing that. Like, he's just, our school district, I think, would be shocked if a principal was like, I just want to take 2 months off. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know, Laura. It's something we've also been thinking about. And... maybe we all just got to start asking Jeff. We got to get Jeff on our podcast and really find out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But let's dive more into this season 45. Drop the four, keep the five. So we're doing, we didn't have an episode last week. So welcome back to everybody. We are doing fantasy like we normally have with these newer seasons where me and Patrick, picked teams of eight. People where we have like good variety. We also will have a guest that's hopefully going to be on next week who picked eight people. It's not going to be super interesting to like rattle off those people. Things of note, there are three contestants this season that none of us picked. Julie, Emily, and Sabaya were not picked by any of the three of us. And
I didn't realize that. Julie and Emily don't surprise me at all. Sabaya kind of surprises me. Sabaya was like probably my next pick if I had to pick someone else.
There's two people that all three of us picked, which are Kelly and Caleb.
Kelly's my dark horse winner pick. Maybe I should not have dark horse because all three of us like her, but.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about this episode. My very first note for this episode is Drew claiming he is one of the smartest people ever to be on Survivor.
Yeah. I immediately was like, oh, boy, I don't like this guy.
Yeah, he's on my team, so I hope he does well with that. I also, my next note is, and this is something that bumped with me, like, in season 44 and 43, I think, is when I first started to like be like, that's weird. It's when they first get to the start and Jeff is like talking to them because he does this more like just socializing thing at the beginning. And he pretends like he doesn't know who they are. He'll be like, hey, you in the blue shirt. And I'm like, Jeff, you know all of these people. You've spent like so long looking at their pictures, casting them, talking to them, interviewing them. Like, you don't have to pretend like you don't know their names, because it's like he pretends like he doesn't. And then magically during the contest, he can call them all out and like shoutcast them.
Yeah, I agree that that bugs me. This is getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but like later on too, during the challenge that I feel like is like immediately after this, they also are like calling each other by name. And I'm like, how do they know each other's names already? That's kind of surprising to me.
Well, I think the, yeah, I guess. Cause sometimes, cause like they rode by tribe, by boat. So like they would maybe,
they're allowed to talk during that
but time. Yeah, usually they're not allowed. So I
it's
don't
probably
know.
Just like the quick, let's strategize before the challenge thing.
Yeah.
And that probably actually takes quite a bit longer than we see. Like it definitely takes a lot longer than we see. We know that.
Yeah.
So it's probably just like over that they've quickly learned at least the five names on their tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like everyone was like shouting for Brandon, and like at one point someone was like, "Yeah, go Emily." I was like, "How the fuck do you know these people's names already?"
They're a lot better at learning names than I am. I'll be like, introduce myself to somebody, they tell me their name, and I immediately it did not enter my head at all.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And with this like beginning introduction, they call out Bruce as a returnee. He's like, you all recognize Bruce. And then Emily immediately just comes for him. She's like, yeah, he tries to say he doesn't have an advantage. He does.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, during our like lightning round episode a couple weeks ago, I was like, I'm rooting for Bruce because I do think he has a slight advantage here. Mm-hmm. I agree with Emily. I don't agree with her just being like, nope, Bruce is wrong. I want to talk now.
She did do a good, like, yeah, I like thought it was a big move to like come for him, not once but twice, because then he like gives a pretty like rehearsed answer, which Jeff even calls out. He's like, you knew somebody was going to say this, so like you had an answer prepared. And then he says it, and he's, but then she's like, see, he's like saying like how like we all feel or whatever. Like she's like, this is showing his advantage he has, which I was like, that is a good point. Like she had a good comeback for him, but it's like, do you really want to put
a good rhetorical point? She said something about like, I think she says like, see, he's already speaking with authority. And I was like, he's just talking to you. Like he's, I'm not sure what you wanted him to say. Like he has to disagree with you. So of course he's going to say something with authority, I guess.
Well, I guess I thought she called it right out, because I viewed it as the way he responded was not like to her. It was like, here's this overarching message for like the group of people. It did.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
But it was an interesting thing that I don't know if it is her acting like she just does, or if she's purposely like, ooh, I want to do this to like highlight myself or put a target on myself or put a target. Like it's a risk reward thing. Like I highlight myself, but it is possible a target, or it's just like, this is Emily being Emily. This is who she is.
I think it is who she is, because this is a spoiler for later, but at Tribal Council, she says, like, I got here and I was suddenly this weird, aggressive Emily. And I think that she is, like, always a little pessimistic, always a little, like, you know, points things out and speaks her mind, but, like, maybe isn't usually quite as aggressive about everything.
Yeah.
I will say, Emily's, kind of before they all get to the boat, there's, like, a couple confessionals of just people talking about, like, the game. That's where we got Drew saying he was one of the smartest people ever. Emily's, I thought, was really interesting of just, like, she's like, I'm either want to win the game or be the first person voted out, because if everything else is a waste of time. Like if I'm on the show for a while but then I don't win, that's worthless, so I'm gonna play really hard, and if that makes me out first, that's fine. Which I do appreciate that, and like I'm like, oh, that makes her make a lot more sense to me throughout this episode, if she's like unapologetically aggressive, I would say.
Yeah.
Which is probably going to make her get voted out very early or get very, very far. Like, I don't see any middle ground for Emily here.
Yeah. I would be surprised if she could win, just because I feel like recent seasons have been really highlighting like the more positive players, but
even the more under the radar players.
Yeah, but they also respect gameplay, so we'll see what she can bring. We get to their first challenge, where they have to unload a crate of this heavy stuff to get a key. They swim out to a boat, paddle back, unlock poles to, and then they have to unloop a flint from a spiral. And the biggest thing about this challenge is Brandon really struggling. He is one who has to, he's on the boat and then climbing the ladder to get back up onto the big like ship that they're on, is a huge struggle for him, really has problems with it. He eventually can get back on the boat, but he basically, like when he gets back on the boat, like is having a panic attack, blacks out, is what he like tells us later a little bit about it, and has to do like a med check afterwards.
I don't know if you listened to any like exit press or podcasts about this or anything. Hannah mentions in an exit interview that I heard that like this was worse than we saw, that he like was like kind of just like laying on his back for a while and was like white as a sheet, like passed out for a while, that like they were very concerned about him, which made the med check make a lot more sense, because in the episode it's kind of like, okay, he had a hard time getting up and like was exhausted, but then Jeff asks for medical to look at him, and I was surprised, like,
yeah, me too.
I mean, I guess, but like that feels like an abundance of caution, Jeff. Mm-hmm. And then her describing that it was a lot worse than we saw, I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But she also made a good point of like, I'm really happy that they did not show that, because Brandon does not need that on national television.
Right.
I will say, it was pointed out in a couple of different places, that most of these people, including Brandon, jumped into the water for like the swim leg of this fully clothed, and a lot of some things I was seeing from like former contestants were like, yeah, that is a rookie mistake, like you mm-hmm. need to strip down into your underwear if you're gonna swim at all, and like Brandon probably could have gotten up that ladder if he was not wearing jeans in the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they talked about that a bunch on Tyson's podcast. He had Cassidy from last season on, or from 43 on, and they were talking about that, but then also talking about like it, the rookie mistake comes from like they're just so excited to be there that they're not like fully processing like strategy and stuff like that. They're just like, yeah, let's go. It ended up, even with all of that, like it ended up being like a fairly close battle for second and third here, and it was really just for first, like, so once one team won, which was Reba, the other two tribes have to choose two people to go to Sweat and Savvy.
Jeff kept calling it Sweat versus Savvy.
Right. Well, one of the things that was very clear with Jeff's wording of this is that like Sweat versus Savvy is here. Like it's been in all of the seat, like of the new era, but you never know when you do like every two episode chunk, like what are they going to change? What are they going to keep? And it was very clear. It's like Sweat versus chunk. What? Sorry.
Two season chunk.
Yeah, is that not what I said?
You said two episode.
Oh yeah, two season chunk, because they film two seasons back to back. So like changes will come in two season chunks. But the way he worded this made it seem like Sweat and Savvy, or Sweat versus Savvy, is going to be like here to stay for at least a while.
Yeah, I noted that because I watched the episode with some friends on Wednesday night, but my mom, our mom, who lives with us, was not here, and so I watched it again with her later.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed, knowing what was happening, that Jeff mentioned, like, you know, Sweat and Savvy is part of the new era, so pick your people for Sweat versus Savvy, and like emphasized versus a couple times, and I was like, oh, he was trying to hint to them that like this one's different, but I didn't catch it at first.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also like doesn't actually make sense as a name. It's more like,
I agree, it bugs me a lot.
It's like Sweat Savvy versus Sweat Savvy, because Sweat versus Savvy, when he first described it, I was like, so is like it gonna be a puzzle that takes a long time that they have to do it faster than like the sweat people? Like I didn't understand how they were supposed to pick two people. Like, is one tribe going to be the sweat people and one tribe going to be the savvy? It was confusing to me.
Yeah, I was like, do you I was surprised at who these people picked, because I was like, you probably should either pick people who are going to be really good at sweat or people who are going to be really good at savvy. And they both kind of picked like one of each a little bit.
Well, that's kind of what, like, I could see it wouldn't actually be this, like, still shouldn't be called sweat versus savvy. But like, when he first described it, I guess I was picturing one person will do the sweat leg and then one person does the savvy leg. And it's like a total time, like their challenges often are.
Yeah. So let's talk about what happens for sweat versus savvy. These two teams of two get to a beach, and instead of getting to pick like the sweat challenge or the savvy challenge, they have to do both. And so they have to move, I think it was 30, like 40 giant logs across a beach. And then once they finish that, solve this like big brain teaser puzzle, and they have an hour to do it. But only one team can win. So if neither of them complete it within an hour, they both lose. But otherwise, whoever does it first wins. And it turns out that neither of them can complete it.
I think I missed that part, that only one could win. I didn't realize that.
That's what makes it the versus.
Gotcha. I also, the other difference was it's not on their own beaches, because it's versus, they have to be like together. And so it's on like some presumably neutral beach that's nobody's beach.
Right. I think that this challenge would have been better if it was just complete both things within an hour, period, rather than sweat first, and then once you finish sweat, go do savvy. Like, I think it would be more interesting if it would be like, okay, you work on the logs, I'm going to try to figure out this puzzle, and I'll swap you out when, like, if we need to or whatever.
Yeah, or it's like even if one of us finishes
first, we can help the other or whatever.
Or just, like, carry two logs, take a quick mind break, like, physical break by doing the mind, mm-hmm. and then like just keep doing that. That would be more interesting. Yeah,
I think that would be way, because the way it happened, they spent like probably the majority of the time doing the sweat, yeah. and then they were like exhausted and tired and could not solve this brain teaser puzzle, mm-hmm. which looked very hard.
Yeah, I really have, like, they didn't show it enough or give them enough time like working with it to get any sense of like what the trick is or like how to do it. I did wonder with the logs, and it's hard without having like a full visual. I was trying to picture it when I was watching them do it. So they have these logs piled on a beach, and they have to walk it, I don't know how far, like 100 feet?
Yeah, probably something like that.
I was wondering, would they have been allowed, or would it have saved strength if they could have carried it? Because it looked they were like 20 feet off the water. Could they have carried it down, floated it 100 feet, carried it back up?
I think that they could have done that. I do not think it would have like saved time.
You don't think so? Because I think it was less total carrying time, but maybe just the process of like guiding it for the float, and or like less total distance carrying, but maybe the time for floating and like getting wet with the sand would maybe make it harder.
Yeah, and like walking through the water for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think would have ended up taking longer. That's interesting. I wonder too if they could have like created a like conveyor belt out of logs.
Yeah, I thought that's what one of them was going to do for a second. I thought about that too, but because I was just watching, I was like, okay, these look really heavy. How could they make this easier?
And, yeah, they're big ass logs.
Yeah. So both of them fail, which means the pairs from those, each of those had to return to their tribes with nothing. So let's go through some of the tribe stuff that happens before the immunity challenge. So Reba was the one that won the initial challenge. So we get to see a little bit of them celebrating on the beach because they get their pot and machete and flint. They note right away that their big tribal sign at their camp has some symbols of some other language around the border, which somebody calls out and is important because I'm pretty sure that's going to match up with the immunity hunt later on. Yes. And then what else I have? Julie tells them that she's an art teacher, even though she's not. There's a few different job lies happening. What is Julie, her actual job? I can't remember that.
She's an estate lawyer.
Oh, okay.
She's the one who like went back when she was getting divorced. She's a late lawyer. Someone thought that she worked there at the law firm, and she was like, what if I did work here at the law firm, and went back to law school?
Yeah.
Old Toonies.
Other stuff, they show Sifu hunting for idols already. He's goofy and like not hiding it. Like, he's like hunting for idols. Other people are like, I bet he's out there hunting for idols. Let's go look for him. So he's just like hiding in a bush while they're walking by. they catch him hiding and he's just like, yep, you got me.
It's like, I'm goofy. It's yeah. fine. He does have, there's a very funny moment where he is like, I'm just going to hunt for idols all the time, but like no one realizes that I'm doing it. And then it cuts to everyone else being like, where's Sifu? He's probably hunting for stuff. He's got to have something by now. He's been looking the whole time.
Like, he also says he's trying to be Tony, which we don't know Tony yet, but he's trying to be Tony. Tony Vlacho, I think. Is that his name?
Vlachos.
Vlachos.
The only thing that I know about Tony is that his like famous move is spying on people. And so Sifu is doing a poor job of that.
Do you know what season he's from?
Tony?
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't
know. I wonder if he's not... Because I feel like there's a bunch of people that are like... People know about, but they're not till like the 30s. Like, I feel like I don't know much at all about the 20s. The seasons in the 20s.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you. I don't know.
This is a tangent.
I don't know.
This is a tangent, but I did watch the first episode of The Challenge USA Season 2.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Because it has some Survivor folks on it, but everyone they're like this is so and so, and I was like, I don't know who that is. This is so- I don't know who that is. The only one I knew, or there's maybe two. There Cassidy Clark, who's on Tyson's podcast, she's on it, and I feel like there's one more. Oh, Chanel maybe.
Oh yeah, I think Chanel was on it.
And then there's a few others that are from like seasons in the 30s, and I was like, I don't know who any of those people are.
I think I just from seeing previews for it, I think Desi is on it.
Yes, she was on the season one too, right?
Season one of it also. So like, she's a Survivor person, but I only know her from the Challenge.
Yeah, there's a couple repeats from season
one. Watch the Challenge USA season two, because I was like, I vaguely remember Chanel and do remember Cassidy, but I'm not going to watch a whole season of TV just for Cassidy. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, after watching episode one of the season two, I also will not be watching the season because I was like, this show's not very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was and then also with Reba, Austin, while collecting wood and like looking around for stuff, he finds a Beware Advantage in a tree. He decides to open it, and it is a clue to the location of a hidden idol, but he has to complete like a series of tasks. Until he completes all of those, he can't vote. So we've seen that sort of stuff before, but this is a more extensive series of tasks, which is something Jeff has talked about in interviews of one of his pitches to CBS of like, hey, we want to do 90-minute episodes of Survivor. They're like, what do you have to fill that extra half an hour of your time slot? One of the pitches was, we can have more extensive idol, hidden immunity idol like hunts, essentially. And so we're starting to see that already.
I was very excited for when Jeff described it. If it is just like a scavenger hunt of like, go here, then go here, then go here, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, it'll be like, there's going to be more to it than that. Like, we already saw with the last couple seasons of the like make an idol from beads from everybody's stuff. Like, that's a challenge in of itself. So I think it's going to be like a multi-layer version of that.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Although I will say step one of it was like, figure out this decipher or this like coded message. And I was like, oh, you got to hold that up to the tribe flag. I can already see the first word says dig. Like, the first one is not going to be that challenging. Somebody on Reddit already like superimposed that picture over the tribe flag. And it says like, dig under the fallen palm tree X or something like that.
Yeah. I do think that if you are not able to like pretty much read it just on like the half letters,
mm-hmm.
that like I've also heard from former players that tribe flag tends to be in a very central location,
right?
And so like trying to do that secretly is maybe a little tricky, but I think that Austin's tribe, Reba, is probably not gonna go to tribal anytime soon. Like, I don't think he's risking much by not having a vote right now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So that was most of the, that's all the stuff I had for Reba before the immunity challenge. So let's go
I do not feel like we saw them very much this season. Or this episode.
Let's go to Bello, which when I typed Bello once, it auto-corrected to help, which I thought was kind of funny. Bruce says that he wants to be crazy drunk Uncle Bruce, not like Dad Bruce. And so he's being extra goofy, which the preview for next week shows that he's really going hard in on crazy drunk Uncle Bruce.
Yeah, he's trying to be goofy, but then he's also telling everybody what to do and giving a lot of orders.
Yeah, which so, I've seen him do the goofy stuff. I was like, man, this feels so weird for Bruce. And then I was like, I don't actually know Bruce. Like, we saw him for like just take a header into a log. Like, that's all we know about him.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of camp life with him when he was actively concussed.
Right. So,
Kendra yeah. clocks Bruce is like, he says he's an uncle, but he's not really acting like my dad. Mm-hmm. He's really ordering us around a little bit. Kendra got a lot this episode.
Yeah, because some of them, I think Kendra, I don't know if she's the one who suggests it, but somebody's like, hey, let anybody want to help me weave palm fronds? And Bruce is like, okay, well, that's a waste of time. Don't do that. Right after he wants to be fun, Uncle Bruce. And it's like, okay, come on, man.
Yeah. I did appreciate that, like, every bit of, like, podcast that I consumed, which is, like, three or four of them, I maybe have a problem. They were all like, okay, that was maybe not a good move of Bruce to do, but also, he's right, though. Mm-hmm. Don't we fucking palm fronds.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so Brando...
I was just going to say that the girls here have kind of created an alliance a little bit.
Yeah, there's a women alliance with Kendra, Kelly, and Keturra.
There's a fun moment where I think it was Kendra asked Kelly and Keturra, like, how old they were. And they said they were 29. And she was like, oh, when did you turn 30? And both of them say at the same time, September. And Kendra's birthday is also in September. And so they're creating this, like, September birthdays women alliance.
Mm-hmm. With the suggestion, go ahead.
I was very impressed with Kelly throughout all of this, because Kelly has a confessional where she's like, Kendra's kind of a lot. We're definitely very different people, but like, I feel like we can work together. We're vibing at the same frequency. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing that I was like, okay, Kelly, I think that you are going to do well in this game, because you are like, I don't necessarily know if I like this person, but we can chill, we can vibe, we can work together. And that I think is a good omen.
Yeah, Kendra suggests Jake be the first to go because he's a lawyer. Keturra is a lawyer who's part of this person she's talking to, but she tells them she's an office manager. And so there's a fun scene of her asking Jake, like, oh man, what's it like being a lawyer? And he's like, brand new baby lawyer, and she's like, been a civil rights lawyer for a while. And he's like, it's pretty scary. Or does he say like scary, or like it makes him nervous or something yeah. like that. She's like, yeah, I've never really like talked to any lawyers before. She does pretty, like, it's funny, but yeah, she does a pretty good job. Just yeah. like, and he just falls right for it, which I guess like there's no reason not to. Like, if somebody tells me they're an office manager, I guess on Survivor, maybe you always be suspicious, but I'm not going to be like, I bet you're a lawyer. Why would you be asking me about a lawyer?
Right. It was a very funny scene. I do think I'm like, for preseason stuff, I'm inclined to like Jake. And even here, he like mentions that he currently lives with his grandma because he's covered mm-hmm. student loans because of law school. And so yeah. like, he's very excited to, he hopes to win so he can like move out of his grandma's house.
Uh-huh.
So I really like Jake. I hope that he does not actually get targeted first on Bello.
Yeah, I like him too. I actually liked his answer of like, I could see a brand new lawyer being like cocky and arrogant, but he's like a, what's the type of lawyer he is?
Public defender.
Public defender, which is like solid. And like him describing it as being like he's nervous or being kind of scared or whatever. I was like, oh, that's like a really good, like honest, like it probably is like very intimidating to like start off as a public defender.
So I will say, I am pretty sure, maybe I'm wrong, but I am pretty sure from his, I saw something preseason that is a lie. He is not actually a public defender. He's like saying that to make himself more likable.
Well, it worked. Hook, line, yeah. sinker. He got me. The only other thing I have note for Bello was that when Brando and Jake return saying that like, hey, we failed the sweat versus savvy challenge. They all seemed like pretty nice about it. Like that was only of note because when we get to Lulu, we'll see that different thing, different vibes are coming from Lulu from the failed sweat for savvy. Yeah.
One last thing about Jake before we move on from Bello. He has a delightful Boston accent. It's very fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope he sticks around too. So with Lulu, Emily immediately, like when they get to their camp, because there's just like the four of them because
just the three of them. It's just her, Sean, right. and Hannah. Because yes. Brandon's still with medical, and Caleb and Sabaya are at Sweat versus Zappy.
Yeah, she's immediately like, when they come back, we have to be like cautious of what they say. They're probably getting an advantage.
She's concerned because Caleb and Sabaya apparently volunteered for Sweat versus Zappy, and she was like, "How dare they?"
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of. I saw a really thoughtful Reddit post of somebody talking through the.
Implicit bias.
Yes, implicit bias from Emily here, because she like labels Sabaya and Caleb as like a clear alliance. They're always like talking to each other. They're not including other people in it, even though there's like other people in the tribe doing the same thing, like Brandon and Hannah, and just a lot of like maybe not outright racism thing, but this like unconscious sort of bias and stuff happening.
Listeners, if you are listening to our podcast and not watching the show for whatever reason, Caleb and Sabaya are black, Emily is white, and the rest of their tribe is, I think, also white. Sean might be Hispanic.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Caleb and Sabaya are the only black contestants on their tribe.
Yeah, so there's, if you're interested in reading what I just mentioned, there's a Reddit post of it that I thought was really like well written. Called Emily is the poster child for implicit bias. And so if you just search that with like Reddit Survivor, if you're interested in reading it, you can check that out.
I will say I did see that and I read through it and I thought it was very well written and very interesting. I also am like, maybe want to give Emily a little bit of time before I am like, yeah, that is what is happening here. Cause I was pretty persuaded by it. And then I was like, I saw like 20 minutes of interaction over the course of a 90-minute episode, and maybe this is not what's going on.
Yeah, I think I connected with it because especially the labeling of their like quote unquote like clear alliance that was like leaving people out, that bumped for me when I was watching the episode. I was like, that seems weird. Like, and so then when I saw that post, I was like, yes, okay, I thought this, like, I thought I was noticing this too. But yeah, you're right. We should like, it's very little time that we've seen her and anything. So, just something to think about. Brandon talks a little bit more about like what happened, how he blacked out, had a panic attack from the challenge. When Caleb and Sabaya return, Emily's pretty angry. They don't have the reward. And like, it fits with like what she was thinking, like, well, they came back saying that, but they probably do have an advantage. We get a, Brandon and Hannah talking about how they're not survivorly and they need a break. They're both kind of like spiraling and melting down together.
They're like, I just want to lay down in the shelter, but we don't even have a fucking shelter yet.
Mm-hmm. Hannah's like, oh, I know why I'm crying. It's because of nicotine withdrawal. And Hannah's mantra, like,
that's a problem.
Her mantra is, we can do hard things, which is the name.
That's the name of the episode. Which is fun. It was very like therapist of her. But like Brandon really holds on to that and is like, we can do hard things. We later see them like carrying a giant bamboo log through camp, and they're, Brandon's like, Hannah and I are doing a hard thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I really wanted to see more of them together. Like, I thought they were a fun duo. There's a lot of people not enjoying Emily's like pessimism or negativity. And then my notes go, wait, what? Because seemingly everyone but Emily is like, well, we all know that aliens built the pyramids, right? And I was like,
as batteries.
I was like, wait, what's happening? And they try to like, they just like seemingly all agree kind of. And Emily's like, they ask her about it. And she's like, she very tactfully is like, you know, it's something I never really thought about.
He's like, I have never really considered the pyramids until right now.
Yeah. Which is obvious. She's like, well, that's stupid. But it's like, She does tactfully answer it. Like, of all the things she's done this episode that haven't been so tactful, addressing the aliens building the pyramids, she handled well.
I agree. I do kind of think that this might have been a little bit more of like Sabaya saying this and other people kind of like smiling and nodding.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah.
It did look like they agreed, but I think like, I mean, maybe more than smiling and nodding. I think this is Sabaya's viewpoint and other people are like, I'm not going to have this argument right now.
Yeah.
And so maybe I'm going to go with it. Maybe they are open to it. I don't know. But Sabaya does most of the talking here. She also has a point of like, it's the biggest cover up ever. What are they covering up? I don't know.
Like those tombs or whatever are too big for people. They're batteries. I was like, I don't know if this is a well-known theory. I've never have put any brain power into watching theories about the pyramids being built by aliens, other than I just know that's a common thought people have.
I mean, Chris, you were just in Egypt. You were in a pyramid. Did it seem like battery?
It was very hot, and batteries sometimes overheat. So, you know.
That does seem like a battery.
Yeah. I don't know. Something to think about. So let's head into the immunity challenge, where they have to go up and over a ramp into a mud pit, crawl under a rope net through the mud pit, drag a bag of coconuts, and then shoot them into a basket, which will drop a crate, release keys, get everybody up a wall, and complete a puzzle. We've learned that the idol this season is cool for the first place tribe and pretty lame for the second place tribe. One of the first idols are usually ones that separate, and the first place team gets this big bird head, which is super cool, and the second place team gets the base of it.
Yeah, it gets a pedestal.
Yeah. And I'm trying to look through my notes for it. Not a whole lot of exciting stuff in the challenge there. They get to the wall, which is tends to be a struggle. Like, this is a common sort of challenge.
There's a part where everybody has to climb over this ramp and fall down into a mud pit, and then crawl under some bamboo for a mud pit. And Bruce does not get a concussion and celebrates after it, which is very fun.
Yeah, and some people I think they got to start thinking through how they're going to do this stuff, because going down the slide into the mud pit, some people are going face first, and so then they land face first into mud, and so their face is covered in mud. And I'm like, you got to think through this. You got to see every leg of this before you did the challenge. You got to know ooh, I should try to go feet first, and then I can go forward, and my face won't be submerged in mud.
I thought about this. First of all, Jeff was actively encouraging people for going head first, which I thought was dumb. I agree with you. But also, the part where they go up is caged in bamboo to so that they can't go up too high or whatever. And I think it was a little bit awkward for people to try to get their legs out of that cage of bamboo and get to go leg first.
That
was hard.
That might make sense then. Okay.
Although half people did do it, so maybe it wasn't that hard.
They kind of was just going. I'm trying, there's no huge advantage, kind of. They get to the wall, and that's where things start to people are struggling. Brandon struggles to get up the wall, has a couple hard falls. Bello.
With that here, and then also in the first challenge, there are multiple times where Brandon is struggling, and his tribe shouts, "Let's go, Brandon." And I was like, "Ooh. I
didn't even notice that."
Yeah, I was like, "Oh boy, that means something in today's culture."
Well, maybe they're trying to take it back, you know. And so Bello is the first to the puzzle, followed by Reba. Lulu's still kind of struggling to get up the wall. They do a cool thing where they use to get a little bit of extra length to try to pull people off the wall. They use their buff as a grip, which was cool, and Jeff even says he calls it out too.
I thought it was very cool. I also think it was more than just length. I think they're having trouble grabbing onto each other because they were covered in mud, so they were slippery, and so they could create handles out of the buff, which is brilliant. I'm that is the coolest thing, I think.
From that was a good move. Challenge. Bello ends up with the win, Reba gets second, and Lulu loses. Yes. And so we spend the rest of the episode with Lulu.
Did you listen to Jeff's podcast?
Yes.
So it does not really matter in the episode that Bello got first and that Reba got second, except apparently there was a twist that was not in the fucking episode.
Oh yeah.
Wild. Where because Bello got first, they got to pick someone to go hang out at Lulu Beach and be part of their discussions of who goes home. And then before they left, which Lulu did not know, they had to cast a vote for their tribal council over at their tree mill before they go home. which got cut out of the episode because of how Tribal Council goes, which we'll get to. But I was like, that is huge. And Hannah talked in her exit press of like, I like hung out with Kendra because she came for this whole thing. And that was just not in the episode at all. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a giant twist that was just absent.
So you think that's going to happen in each immunity challenge for a bit?
That was my question for you of like, did they cut it because it was like, okay, never mind, we're not going to do that anymore? Or is that like, now that is going to be a thing that happens, but it just didn't impact this Tribal Council, and so they cut it for time?
That's my...
I think it'd be fun if they do keep it.
Me too. I guess I don't know if I'll ultimately enjoy it, but I want to see it, and so I hope it happens in the next episode.
I kind of am all for anything that, like, builds more cross-tribe communication.
I like that. The vote is the part I'm unsure of.
I don't mind that.
We'll see. So with Lulu, my first note was like, it's got to be Brandon or Emily. I didn't think it was going to get to the point of Hannah quitting. And I was like, well, Brandon is weak in challenges, but Emily is weak socially, like around camp. And so like, it's going to be between those two. And like, it shows Brandon and Hannah kind of talking. They're kind of like spiraling together, but Brandon is does a decent job of like what I thought was talking Hannah out of quitting. And then Brandon is like getting really worried. And so he tells people like, I'm going to play my shot in the dark.
He apparently at home took medicine for acid reflux, and it's not allowed to have that on Survivor. And so he says that he has had acid reflux and like his chest has hurt terribly for 20 hours.
I'm surprised by that too, like, because there's got to be regular medication that people are allowed to take. So I wonder what the cutoff is. Like, if that was not doctor prescribed, it was just his own stuff, maybe?
I would bet that they're only allowed to take like life-saving medication.
You don't think they'd be able to take like therapist prescribed medication or something, like antidepressants or something?
Oh, I don't know. That is...
I think it would be pretty messed up if it came out that they were not allowed to do that.
My thought that maybe they would not be allowed to do that would be that starving for days is going to affect how that all affects your system. And I don't know if they can, I would bet, like, a doctor that prescribes that would maybe be like, you should not be taking this while you are going through this experience.
Yeah, that is a good point. I wonder if Carolyn pops to mind. I wonder if Carolyn has any video where she's talked about that. I just know she's, like, outspoken, and it wouldn't surprise me if there's some video that she has her talking about that in some way. Yeah. I don't know if she's on antidepressants, but I would imagine that she... That's something that she would like care about. I don't know. She just popped into mind about that.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I don't know that we've ever had like a diabetic person, but I imagine they would have to allow for insulin and stuff. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they would. I wonder if that would, because with the lack of food, like if that's just like they're just like, we can't cast somebody who's diabetic because like we can't, that's not something that we're going to be able to manage.
Yeah, because like we can't. Giving them like something sugary to adjust for their blood sugar being low might be seen as giving them food or something like that.
Or even then, like, it's just like they have so little food, like you can't just be like, okay, there's a medic attached to this person like 24/7 for the show, like.
And yeah, so I mean, there are clearly some disabilities that they would be unwilling to cast, like, right. I don't think that they would cast a wheelchair user. I don't think they would cast they've cast hard of hearing contestants before. I don't think they would cast a blind contestant.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Which, like, I don't know. I have varying views of, like, is that fair or not, I guess. But, so maybe there are certain medical conditions, like diabetes, that they would just be like, no, sorry.
Yeah.
That's what they do for us.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. Where were we before this?
Brandon's acid reflux.
Brandon, yeah. Another note before Tribal Council, Emily wants to break apart Caleb and Sabaya's alliance, which she tells Brandon, who immediately goes and takes us to Caleb.
Yes.
So going into Tribal Council, it kind of feels like it's those kind of Brandon or Emily with I think more of the lean towards Emily. Like people seem more annoyed with Emily than Brandon.
That's what I thought too.
And so there's discussion at tribal council all around, like we normally see. Emily calls out Caleb and Sabaya's alliance, calls out Brandon for struggling in challenges. Although when she does that, it's funny because she doesn't say his name. And Hannah's like, "Are you?" She thought that she was talking about Hannah, not about Brandon, which is just kind of funny.
Yeah. She's like, "Are you talking about? And are you talking about me?" And Emily's like, "I was talking about Brandon.
Yeah,
it was him."
And Hannah speaks up and she's like, "I'm going to be honest. I don't want to be here, and I don't need you all to vote for me to leave." And Jeff's like, "So you're saying like, even if they vote out somebody else, you would still leave?" And she's like, "Yeah." And so they
she's like, "I please don't make me go back to that camp tonight. Like, mm-hmm. just I cannot fathom doing that right now." She does say, like, "I just don't want to be here" first. And Sabaya says, like, "I mean, I hear that, but, like, I really don't think that she's going to quit, and we have to vote her out. And so, like, we can vote someone else out and then let Hannah go home next time we go to tribal or something like that, because we could still use her right now, and that might be better for our tribe." And that's when Hannah is like, "I don't need you to vote me out to leave."
Right. And she does say a kind of nice thing. Like, I have mixed feelings that, like, if she felt she needed to quit, she needed to quit. I know people, myself included, probably are like, there's so many people that want to be on Survivor. Like, it's unfortunate that it took somebody to be here to realize they couldn't handle this, like, in the first few days. But I like that she included, like, she's choosing to, like, voice this now because she didn't think it would be fair if somebody else who wanted to be there got voted out when she, like, very clearly doesn't want to be here.
Yeah. She said that in her exit press too. She was like, "People are pissed at me for taking someone else's spot, but that's the main reason why I quit, because I didn't think it was fair for me to stay when someone else who wanted to be there was going to get kicked out."
Yeah. And Jeff kind of talked about it too. They asked him on his podcast, like, "You used to get so mad at people for quitting. Why don't you do that now?" And he said, "Because the internet," he basically is like, "The internet exists. They can tear these people apart. I don't need to."
Yeah. That's
basically what he said.
I will say, like, you know, people can be annoyed with Hannah for quitting or whatever. That's fine. I don't really care. She said, like, she is not on social media or anything. So that, like, people, she's not seeing all of that. Mm-hmm. Except that some people are finding her anyway. And, like, she owns a business and people are leaving, like, negative reviews on her business and shit like that.
Oh, that's and, awful.
Like, just gonna say to, you know, our listeners, don't fucking do that. That's terrible.
Yeah.
She's a human being, and sure, she had a really hard time and quit, and I'm sorry if that upsets you, but, like, she is a human being.
Do you think if they had gone to vote, everybody would have voted Hannah anyways?
At that point in the episode, I don't think everyone would have, but I think enough would have that she would have gone home.
Yeah.
Because, so, we didn't mention this, but, like, Jeff verbally is like, "So, yeah, everybody's just going to send Hannah home." And there's definitely some hesitation there. Yeah. But eventually it kind of builds.
That's why, like, yeah, okay. I guess that's
why. I think Caleb and Sabaya would not have, but everyone else would have.
That was basically why I put that note in my notes. I was, the hesitation from Caleb and Sabaya, you could clearly see that they're like, "Fuck, I don't want to vote her. But, like, you're really putting me on the spot here, Jeff." So, like, yes.
Right, exactly. I will say some points about Hannah's quit that bugged me were, one of the things that she has said is, like, she didn't smoke or really vape, but she used, like, nicotine pouches, and she had tried to, like, quit those cold turkey, like, while she was quarantined before the game. Mm-hmm. Which just, like, that seems like a terrible idea, like, quit nicotine months ahead of time, I feel right. But she also was like, she said that she couldn't sleep the two nights she was there and got zero sleep whatsoever. And she made a comment in her exit interview of, like, "I think if I would have even gotten, like, 1 hour of sleep, I would not have quit." But she says that she didn't because of the shelter and because it was raining, which we didn't see much in the episode. But she also says Caleb and Sabaya snored, and so I couldn't sleep very much. And I was like, go sleep somewhere else. Like, you have a beach. We've seen people, like, sleep on the beach before. Just, like, go.
I was thinking about this too. We have 90-minute episodes now. Like, I want to see them sleeping, which sounds weird, but, like, Like the first few days when they have no shelter, we never see anymore. Like, what are they doing? Like, where are they sleeping? How's that going? Like, I want to see that.
I want to see the struggle a little bit more, which we do see that early episodes or early seasons.
A lot. Like they're like these, like two of the tribes at this, at the point for like at least their first night had no machetes. So like they've got like basically no shelter. So I want to like show us like 30 seconds of the nighttime, like dark vision or like whatever night vision camera, like show them just like laying out on the beach or like struggling a little bit there. Like that would add so much to like why they're struggling. Like, especially for Hannah and Brandon, who are like clearly like they showed us a lot of their like just spiraling each other, like breaking down. If they had shown that, that would have been like really nice footage to see there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that I want to see more of that. I will say something that I have not seen talked about enough in the last week is like, yeah, we have 90 minute episodes. That's cool. Every other New Era season had a 2 hour season premiere. And so this is actually a shorter premiere than we usually get. All the other episodes will be long, but this premiere felt fast to me because it was like, I feel like we did not really meet the Reba tribe or the Bello tribe at all.
Yeah, it did feel very fast.
And because it was actually shorter than usual, even though every other episode will be longer than usual.
Well, hopefully over the next couple episodes, we'll get a lot more sense of what it'll be like. So Hannah's quit. She's out. She was on Patrick and our guest's team. Thomas, our guest's team. So they're both down a person already, which is lovely to see for me.
Okay, Chris, you're losing though, so...
But I'm just counting it by how many people I've got. I got more. The preview for next week showed Sabaya saying Emily will cut my throat in the night. It showed
what if that happens?
I don't think I hope they wouldn't show that to us. I don't want to see that.
Well, I mean, yeah.
They show Reba being strong and Bruce acting silly.
Yep.
And next week's episode is called "Brought a Bazooka to a Tea Party."
Who do you think says that, Chris? Let's make some predictions.
To a tea.
Oh, wait. Before we do that, we should make a MVP for this episode. Which, boy, howdy. I have no fucking clue. Actually, I think I take that back. I have a clue.
I gotta go. Yeah. All right.
Okay. I got it.
Okay. I feel like I probably should give this more thought, but just going with my instinct. 1, 2, 3. Austin. His tribe won one of the challenges, and he got the beware advantage. Bingo, bingo. Ha, ta, ta.
Bingo, bingo, ha-ta-ta. That bumps me into the lead. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so Patrick has 135 points. Thomas has 110, and I have 96. But I still have all 8 people.
For now.
Well, yeah. So, some other predictions for next episode, like our episode-ly predictions. We need to pick a final 3, an episode title, a next boot, and then lots of, like, season-long predictions.
Okay. Can we talk episode title first? Because we were already talking about it a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say Jake. I feel like it matches his energy a little bit, and also he's from Boston, and so he talks about tea parties.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Sabaya, that she's saying it about Emily, like they're having a nice time around camp, a tea party, and Emily's coming in with a bazooka.
That is very well thought out. That's probably correct.
Especially with her quote of Emily will cut my throat in the night. I feel like that kind of fits in with that. I'll go with that.
I could also see it being Caleb for similar reasons.
Yeah, I was going to say him. And then because of Sabaya's quote from the preview for next week is why I went with her.
Yeah.
Next boot.
I mean, I think it's Emily. I think the Lulu losers are going to keep Lulu losing. And I think it would have been Emily this episode. So.
Yeah, I think I agree. But for the sake of having more variety, I'll say Julie.
Old two knees herself.
Old two knees.
Who's your final 3, Chris?
Kelly, Sifu, Jake.
Ooh, interesting. I'm also going to say Kelly, Austin, and who else do I think is going to be there? D.
I did like almost, I didn't want to like, it's too early to tell, but like I could see there being a season-long Brandon arc. Like Carolyn, we got a lot of Carolyn footage in the first episode last season, and she made it far.
That's true.
A lot of Brandon footage, but a lot of his footage was more related to medical reasons or tied to Hannah, who is leaving. So I don't know if it's all him or not.
He also, like, what scares me about Brandon is that he did kind of feel like he wanted to quit, or like it looked like he also wanted to quit. And what Hannah's the one that talked him down from that, and now she's gone. And so I think Brandon's going to struggle more now.
Plus, maybe I think he's going to, I think Caleb and Sabaya can be that angel on his shoulder.
I think that might be true, but I also would be shocked if Lulu does not go two more times to tribal before the merge.
Yeah.
And I think that's clearly an Emily and then Brandon.
Yeah.
Like I just can't imagine Lulu suddenly going on a winning streak at this point. And I feel like Brandon is not in control of that tribe.
But didn't we, as early as like episode 3 last season, there was like a tribe swap of like swapping a person? It was pretty early last season. Maybe not 3. Uh-oh. He froze for a second.
I think that was just right before the merge. I think it was like episode 5.
Oh, okay. All right. We do like season long predictions, but we should probably wait and do those with our guests, right? Or do you think we should do them now and then have him fill in numbers?
I think we should go ahead and do them now.
Okay. So one of those is how many episode titles we think all season will be spoken by Jeff. Like, example is this week's episode title was We Can Do Hard Things, which was a Hannah original. I don't know. I'll say 2.
I'm going to say 0.
I think that's fair. Next we have how many idols in the game will there be total? And this is not like advantages, right? We're saying like immunity idols.
Immunity idols.
You erased our numbers from last season, so I don't know what to compare to.
Oh yeah, that's true. I'm going to say 5. Last season had a lot because like those people on the swaps got like idols that expired at merge or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like a lot of weird ones in the game last season. Gabler had that was 2 seasons ago. Never mind.
I'll say 7.
Seems reasonable.
Players with a merge buff. You can go first. I'll give you.
I think you did 12.
Okay, I'll say 11. I wanted to say 10, but that feels, I don't know.
I realized right after I said 12 that I wanted to actually say 11 because I think it's usually 12 when they get mergatory, and then it's 11 that are actually a merge buff.
Mm.
But
tribal councils with a tied vote.
Ooh.
0.
Ooh. I'm going to say 3.
3? That's so many.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a chaotic season.
Did that happen at all last season? Were there 0 last season? I think there was 0 last season, 0 ties. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds right. I can't think of any.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. It happened. I think we counted it as happening, but it didn't actually because of an idol play. Like early Tika, it was like 2-2, but
There was a 2-2 tie, but an idol, yeah. Okay, then we have successful idol plays. I will say 2.
I think there were 2 last season. I'm gonna say 1.
Shot in the dark plays. I'm gonna say 5.
Wow. I'm gonna say 1.
I feel like there's going to be some, I don't know. I feel like there's going to be more. Maybe enough time has gone that people have like thought about it more. The fact that Brandon already mentioned it, episode 1, I was like, maybe that'll happen more.
Yeah, that's fair.
Live tribals. I think 0.
I said that it was going to be a chaotic season, so I'm going to say 4, which is a lot. But
I think our first couple seasons of the new era were very live tribal heavy, but then it felt like the past 2... they stopped doing that, whether they stopped happening or they stopped showing it happening. And so I feel like maybe they decided they didn't want to do that. So that's why I'm going 0.
Yeah. I'm just hoping for chaos. So 4.
Non-idol advantages. This is like an impossible question.
I'll say 5.
Ah, that's what I was going to say. 6. And unanimous votes.
I will throw out there. I do not count.
A quit?
If I counted Hannah as a quit.
Oh, that's not I don't count that. No, okay. I agree. I would say 3.
I'll say 2, because unanimous votes are not chaotic, so I'm rooting for chaos.
All right, cool. Do we have other things before luxury items and stuff?
I don't think so.
I will say I really liked doing our lightning round, and then watching the first episode so much easier. I felt like I already knew the people.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Being able to like stare at the names while we talked about them, or stare at like the pictures of them while we talked about them, type in the notes was so much easier because I'm like, I already know who these people are. That's, yeah, that was very helpful.
It was okay. A little bit of a shock to me because I was like, ooh, I remember not liking that person, but I like them now.
Mm.
I gave Caleb a lot of shit for his deep V, but I like him. Oops.
So you got a luxury item this week?
I do. I almost talked about this last time, but I wanted to talk about Big Brother instead. So I saved it for this time. Caleb and I, with baby and stuff, have just been watching a lot of TV lately. And we started watching through Veep on Max, HBO Max, whatever it's called nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching Veep, which is Julia Louis-Dreyfus as the vice president, and then also in other roles as the show goes on. But it's great. It's a good show. It's like very funny, often laugh out loud funny. It also has I want to say Gary Hale. Is that his name? No, his name
Tony Hale. There's a Gary. Not Gary.
Tony Hale's character is named Gary. That's what it is. But he's Buster from Arrested Development, as well as other roles. But that's how I tend to think.
Gary Cole is another actor on it who is in, like, I know him from Office Space. I think Office.
I was like, I totally recognize that guy. Office Space is correct. Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of like fun people on it. Hugh Laurie's on it for a while. There's a lot of like random people that pop up. But it's like pretty funny, and it's like, it is a funny, it's like a political comedy. It's like if West Wing was funny, but also without. Hey,
West Wing has plenty of funny moments. Okay.
It's like if West Wing was not a drama, because it's just like not dramatic at all by any means. But it also does not really care about the politics, and part of the whole point of it is like, or sorry, maybe I should clarify, it cares a lot about politics and not a lot about policy.
Mm-hmm.
So it does a lot about like politicking and like which side of this issue is actually going to help us better. But like part of the satire of it is that like none of the politicians actually care about any of the policies whatsoever, which leads to some fun comedy because they like say some wild shit and then like they backtrack on it all the time and stuff. And it is a clear satire of American politics. But yeah, it's funny. It's good. I enjoy it.
Nice. I've seen most of it. I wasn't as into it, but my roommate, when the show was like airing, really liked it. And so I've seen a lot of it just with them watching it.
I think that I would have fallen off of it if I was watching it week to week, but the fact that we've been like binging it has helped a lot, I think.
Yeah. My luxury item is another show that I was texting with Patrick about a little bit, and I think Patrick maybe talked about a while ago, which is The Traitors.
Oh, yeah.
So I finally watched season one of The Traitors. I binged it all in like 2 days. And
it's so good.
It's fantastic. It's essentially the game Werewolf, except instead of wolves, they're called traitors, and instead of like villagers, they're called faithfuls. And the cast is mostly like kind of reality TV personalities, but not actually. No, I don't know if I should say mostly. It's a mix of like reality TV. It's a mix of celebrities. So there's like reality TV people. There's like athletes, and there's just like a whole mixture of people.
It is half and half. It's half that and half normal people.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if normal, like, I guess I didn't look that closely, but like some of, is that like what their premise is that it's half that and half normal people?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. It was very fun to watch. You know who the traitors are the whole season. And so just like seeing them interact. It has Suri from Survivor in season one, and she's a delight to watch. There's some other Survivor, there's Stephanie LaGrossa from Survivor also. Which I don't like her as much, but Suri was really fun to watch. And it is fantastic, like all the way up through the finish. I don't want to talk and like spoil anything, but if you are all interested, I highly recommend watching it because all the way up to the finish, it is like very, very good.
It is like, yeah.
I will say, like, it took me a few episodes to really get into it. Like, the first couple, I was like, I don't know, this is, like, kind of over the top. And there's a lot of, like, kind of just people. Some of the gameplay is led more by, like, whether people like each other or not, instead of, like, actually thinking they're traitors or not. But I think that's also part of the gameplay, is, like, wanting to be, like, if you're likable, then people won't suspect you. And so,
yeah. I do think it was season one. I'm interested in more seasons because I, similar to what you're saying, I think that, like, there's kind of no way for them to know who's a traitor and who's not. Like, there's no, like, evidence to go off of. Like, in, like, Werewolf, there's, like, a detective role or something like
right.
that. And that just doesn't exist in this show. And so, like, it is purely just based off of, like, vibes, which feels hard. And so I'm hoping that in future seasons there's, like, a little bit more strategy involved somewhere along the line.
I don't know. I kind of like the vibes. Like, there was one person who I hated for, like, the first half of the season, but she really, like, turned me around on her. Kate, yeah.
I love
Kate. I couldn't stand her, hated her. My roommate Katie, like, watched some episodes with me, and I was like, oh, I hate her. She's going to be awful. And then, like, when she started watching was when Kate really, like, turned around, and I was like, I swear she sucked for the first half of the season.
Yeah, fully co-sign everything you just said.
But Kate also, like, reads people. Like, in episode one, she's like, I think these three people are traitors. And she was right. Like, two of her three were right. And I was like, damn, she's obnoxious, but she knows what, like, she can read people.
Yeah, yeah, that is fair. And I do, like, I feel like the middle section of the season, I was like, okay, where is this going? Like, how is this going to go? Yada, yada, yada. But it is, like, a very satisfying season of television.
Yes.
Like, as a whole.
Yeah, it'll definitely, I will definitely watch season two, which they've announced the cast for. And so I'm excited for that. And if yes. Alan Cumming is the host, who's playing, like, a very, like, kind of just over the top.
Damn.
Really embracing his Scottishness. He's great.
Lots of great outfits from him, too. It's mm-hmm. fun. Season two, they did away with the, like, the normie half, and it is all pseudo celebrities or reality stars.
Yeah, so season two has people from Love Island, The Challenge, Big Brother, I think a couple athletes, I think. Somebody from the UK Parliament, Dancing with the Stars, Shaws of Sunset, Parvati from Survivor, and Sandra from Survivor are on it. Several Real Housewives, Real World. Yeah, so lots of people. There is I haven't watched any of the other versions of the Traitors, but there's a UK version and an Australian version, I think. I haven't checked any of those out yet.
I think the Australia is the original, I'm okay. pretty sure.
Yeah. So we should probably wrap things up because this episode's been going for a while. So, listeners, if you want to let us know anything new you've been into during the Survivor off season, or let us know how you're liking season 45, drop the four, keep the five, email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. And for this week of Survivor, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oh, yeah.